We're joined by Nazmira Moola, who's head of SA Investments 491. And if you're going, what's that? Well, it used to be Investec. It's now 91. Nazmira, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John.
A sort of general instinctive response to what Tito Mboweni said between 2 and 10 to 3?
Given the difficult circumstances we find ourselves in, I think this was actually a very good budget.
In what way?
I think we find ourselves in a situation where we've had a big contraction in growth last year, but revenues are, what's become apparent over the last couple of months is that revenues are going to be less bad than we expected in October. So in October, we thought they'd be 300 billion rands down from February. Now we think they'll only be 200 billion rands down from February. So you and I both know that still leaves you in a pretty difficult situation. But what we were worried about going into this budget, that politically this would be seen as an opportunity to increase expenditure and maybe to take a less hard line on the government wage bill. And that's not what happened. We saw some very targeted slippage in expenditure, which I think is necessary in terms of supporting the rollout of the COVID vaccine, but also in terms of creating a public works program, which I see as ultimately substituting for the expiration of the social welfare grant. So restraint on expenditure, slightly higher revenues, all going into reduced debt issuance this year because we're trying to stabilize our debt burden. So I think that package is what makes it a good budget for me.
Okay. And I mean, we still owe an enormous amount of money and we're still continuing to pay more and more interest on that money. But instead of going up to 95% of GDP by the year 2025-26, they're now pegging that back to below 90%. It's still an enormous amount of money, but it is a slightly more optimistic medium-term perspective.
Exactly. And I think we also need to be realistic about what a budget can do. This is the CFO of the company. What we need is the CEO and the heads of the divisions to execute now. So the solution to South Africa's debt burden is not going to come from the finance minister. It's going to come from restraining expenditure, as we've done, and making sure the revenue is well collected. But then it's about getting growth going. It's about all those reforms that we need implemented by the Minister of Minerals and Energy and the Minister of Telecommunications. That's what's going to solve our debt problem.
And look, I mean, the tax increases, people in terms of PAYE are paying less. Everybody's going to pay less for the next tax year. Company tax, there's a commitment to begin to reduce it from its current 28% to closer to the global average of 23%. The fuel levies up by 15 cents a litre, the road accident fund by 11 cents a litre, so that's 26 cents a litre more to petrol, but that was kind of expected at that sort of level. Sin taxes, well, you know, people must be prepared to pay for their particular vices.
Pay for their sins.
So none of that is criticizable, really, or is it?
No, I mean, I think the inflation relief that's coming in the form of personal income tax is going to be supportive of the economy. We haven't had full inflation relief for a while. We've had a situation where there's been partial compensation for inflation. So I think that's good. Now we've got a little bit more than that. So in total, you have 13 billion rands going into personal disposable income, which most of it will be spent given the circumstances, because most of it is accruing to lower and middle income earners. And I think that's a very positive thing. I think the questions I have is, have we budgeted enough for vaccines? It's 5.2 billion directly on vaccines, and maybe we may need some more, I'm not sure. But I think
he indicated that it could go up to as much as 20 billion, some of which would come back because the medical aids will be paying the state probably a raised fee for the vaccines that they procure from the state.
So I think that's the good news on the vaccines. The other side, which I think we need to keep an eye on over the next couple of years, is state-owned enterprises. I think the Treasury has made a very limited transfer to state-owned enterprises, not much of an increase this time around. So it's just the Eskom numbers, land banks being budgeted for. But we know we have some more problem children, and that's not yet in the numbers. I mean, if I was Treasury, I wouldn't be putting it in the numbers just yet until there's a viable plan and solution there. So I think they've done the right thing, but it does mean that in future years, you're likely to see increases coming through for some of those entities.
How credible is this budget? I mean, it's been something which has leveled, it's been an accusation leveled at Treasury for a while, that they are not wildly over-optimistic, but they are over-optimistic in terms of all of the projections around growth and so on that they put in. Because if the income and expenditure as set out in this budget are to hold, that requires salary increases of well below inflation for public servants over the next 3 years. And yeah, I think that's what Treasury and the Finance Minister want. But are they going to be able to get it?
So there are two assumptions that are critical here. One are the growth numbers, and I think they're plausible. They require some reforms from the other ministries, but not a full suite. So I don't think it's asking too much. The other is what you allude to, is the government wage bill. And there's more credibility this year than there was last year. A year ago, if they published these numbers, we would have thought they're ridiculous. Now we've seen the government have an ability to hold the line on the wage bill for a year. And in a year where they actually had a three-year agreement, go to court against the unions, which are part of their alliance partners. And I think there is a bit of a dawning realization, John, that our public sector wage bill is just unaffordable. As a percentage of GDP, we spend more on public sector wages than all large emerging markets and most of the OECD, except for Denmark and Belgium. That's so we spend a higher proportion of our GDP on public sector wages than France.
And as most citizens would attest, we probably get worse service than the citizens of Denmark and France from our public service compared to what they get from theirs.
Considerably worse. But we also spend a lot more than the citizens of Poland, Mexico, Chile, a range of emerging markets as well. This is not just a developed market comparison. So I think there's an understanding that we need to rein in the public sector wage bill. I have a higher degree of confidence given that they've held the line for the last year. But yeah, that is the crux of the matter. If there's any slippage on the public sector wage bill, then this budget becomes very questionable.
Listeners are saying, I see Eskom and SAA have been bailed out again. That's not the phrasing that the finance minister used.
No, and I don't think there's new money there. I think it's the money that's been previously allocated. So I think what we are going to need to see over the next year is a long-term holistic debt plan for Eskom. So it's not these annual transfers that get put into the numbers. It's actually a solution, which may involve the fiscus taking on a greater share than the 23 billion rand a year they're currently allocating in 1 year, but it means that there's nothing further thereafter. So I think there has to be a solution there.
And electricity and getting electricity right, getting Eskom right, getting other sources of energy into the economy are really important. And again, there's some... Are there credible deadlines that by December the transmission division of Eskom will have been legally separated and that the separation of the generation and distribution divisions will be completed by December 2022? So, I mean, if those promises are kept, that does seem also to me a positive.
That would be immensely positive. Our single biggest constraint to growth in South Africa is electricity. But in order for those promises to be kept, we need Gwede Mantashe to get going, because his department has been notoriously behind in terms of fulfilling deadlines. And that's why I keep saying it's all good and well, the finance minister promising certain things, but we need the division heads, the Minister of Minerals and Energy, to execute here.
Nazmira, thanks for talking to us. Nazmira Moola, head of SA Investments at 91.